The study of the afternoon is maybe an unconventional one in many ways. It's something that I've looked at in the scripture for, many years to try to determine and look at. It's been an interesting personal study for me, and I hope that it's something that will be interesting to you to look at for a few minutes as well. The age of the earth, a question of much debate today. There are those that say the earth's very, very old. And they cite evidence that would lead one to believe, maybe that's right. There are some things about the earth that look very, very old. There are also others that say the earth's very young in terms of total age, relative to what those that would say the earth is old is anyway. And the truth of the matter is there's evidence that would support that. There are things that make the earth look young. There's some scientific things that make the earth look young. And so we want to study this for a few minutes. I want to read a few scriptures as just a point of reference and to put some things in perspective from the book of Job. In Job chapter 38 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with doors, when it brake forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and the thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shall thou come, but no farther, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed." I'm amazed when I listen to God respond to Job there. And listen to God say to Job, you don't have a clue, boy. You really don't have a clue. You don't know what you're talking about. He says, "Were you there when I created the earth? Did you see that happen? Did you measure it? Did you lay it out? Did you stretch the line? Did you say to the ocean, this is as far as you can go, no further. This is where you stop." Because that's what God did. And when you read the creation account and you think about the God we serve, it should give us great faith to know that God said those things. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God said, "Let there be a firmament," and it was so. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul because of God and because God spoke those things. And when God said to the ocean, "That's where you stop," that's where the ocean stopped. And we don't have the power to even comprehend what it is that God did when He created the world. But it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing planet that supports life when there shouldn't be life on this planet. Science will say the chances of life happening on this planet are almost impossible. And yet here we are, living, breathing creatures, here only because God has allowed us to be here, only because God put us here. That's why we're here. And I think God's response to Job there proves that. There are very different accounts. Science says that this earth is 4.5 billion years old, plus or minus 0.05 billion years. Basically, they're saying we have a margin of error of 5%, so could be 4.3 billion, could be 4.7 billion, somewhere in there. That's old. That's a long, long time. A billion is a big, big number. Hard for me to even comprehend, really. When you look at the Bible account, it says the Bible that the earth is very nearly 6,000 years. Very close to that is what the Bible would tell us. Why does this matter? You may ask yourself. This is all fine and good, but who cares? What does it matter if the earth's 4.5 billion or if the earth's 6,000? What does it really matter? And that's a fair question. Because there are Christians who profess the earth is 4.5 billion years old. They profess to follow Christ. They profess to believe the Bible. And yet they say the evidence is too great. The earth is 4.5 billion years old. So does it matter? And I think it does. I think it does matter. It affects our faith. And the thought of the earth being old has shaken many Christians' faith. It's caused many Christians to compromise their belief structure. It's caused them to say, well, some of these things must have happened because the earth's so old, it had to be that way. Most prominent among those things is the theory of evolution. And I don't know how well you can see all this. Don't worry about the writing too much. The lines are really what matters. And the years. From 1982 to 2016, Gallup has conducted a poll on an annual basis in which they ask people what best describes their belief as to how humans came to be in our present state. One of those things, this top line right here, says that God created humans in our present form within the last 10,000 years. And what's interesting to me about that is from 1982 to today, 2016, that line really hasn't varied very much. About 42% of Americans believe that God created humans in our present form within the last 10,000 years. Then you have this dark green line that says that God was involved in the evolutionary process, but that evolution is a fact and that it has taken place, and that mankind has evolved from some primitive state over time to our current form, with God guiding that process along the way. In 1982, that was 38%. Today, that's 31%. It's actually fell off. And why has it fell off? Unfortunately, it's fell off because this line at the bottom, evolution with God playing no part in the process, has grown to 19% today. More people believe that than have ever believed that since Gallup started taking this poll. But really, both these lines are of a concern because it means that really just as many or more people believe in the evolutionary process than believe that God created us in our present form within the last 10,000 years. Why is that a problem? Why does it matter whether you believe in evolution or not? Well, it's a matter of faith. It's a matter of our faith being shaken. It's a matter of us compromising our faith. If you'll compromise your faith to say, well, the creation account must not really be 100% accurate. The creation account must really not tell the whole story. Well, if God didn't tell us the whole story about the creation, then is He telling us the whole story about salvation? Is He telling us the whole story about morality? Is He telling us the whole story about anything if He didn't tell us the whole story about the creation? And so when we accept evolution as fact and we say, yeah, the earth's old and God's allowed evolution to take place, or yeah, God hasn't even played a role in that whatsoever, then really we're denying the facts of the Bible. We're denying the truth when we do that. Digging a little deeper into this, just as some points of interest to you, and it comes to evolution and the origin of human beings, there's some things that play a role in how people see that. People that attend a church on a weekly basis, attend an assembly of the church on a weekly basis, 69% of those folks believe that God created us in our present form within the last 10,000 years. 24% believe there's some kind of evolution. These are people that attend an assembly of the church every week. A quarter of those people believe in the evolutionary process, believe that God has allowed evolution to take place, that He's guided the process. Only 1% believe God had no part in the process. But then you look down here at people that seldomly attend. They profess Christianity, but they seldomly attend an assembly. 43% of those people believe that God created us in the last 10,000 years. 32% believe in a God-guided evolutionary process, and 34% believe God didn't play a role at all, that mankind just miraculously appeared here. You look at that by education level. As someone who is a fan of the educational process and have made a career in education, this concerns me. People with less than a high school degree, 3% believe in a God-guided process of evolution, 10 in that God did not play a role. And 57% of people that don't have a high school degree believe God created us within the last 10,000 years. The world says those are just dumb, uneducated people. But what's the story, really? Maybe they haven't been exposed to all the propaganda that is thrown at them and us accepting this fiction of evolution as fact. And it being taught a theory that's not provable, being taught as a scientific fact. As you go up, people with a college degree, 41% believe God plays no role in anything. Only 27% of people with a college education believe that God created humans in the past 100 years. And then maybe the most concerning to me is age. 18 to 29 year olds in America today, only 28% of those young people believe God created us within the last 10,000 years. A large majority believe something different, either in some form of evolution. That's concerning. It's concerning as a parent, thinking about what are our young people learning? What are we teaching them? What are we educating them in? And why does any of this matter anyway? Again, it's a matter of faith. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the Bible is inspired word of God? Do you believe God's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness? Because if you do, then we've got to put ourselves in that last column. We've got to believe that. But many Christians, as you can see, are gravitating towards other things. So, back to our topic. How old is the earth? If we can prove the earth is young, then evolution hasn't had time to take place. And you can disprove that theory. And you can go in a different direction, understanding that God has created us and have confidence in that. But how do we do that? There are a couple ways we could do that this evening. One would be we can look at the evidence. There's scientific evidence, lots and lots of it, that supports that there's a young earth, that the earth is not very old, that it is within 10,000 years, give or take. There's also scientific evidence to the contrary. And I think there's some reasons for that. Most prominently, God created an earth that was mature. When God created Adam, He didn't create an infant baby. He created a grown man. When God created trees, He didn't create seeds. He created a full-grown tree that gave its seed and produced its seed very quickly and rapidly. God created a mature earth, an old earth. And so by our human reasoning to look at it, it does look older than it is. We can look at the Bible. There's usefulness in looking at science, and when you study with people out in the world, you may have to turn to science. You may have to look at some of those things and talk about some of those things to prove the earth is young, to get to a biblical context, and then move into the Word of God. But our study this evening is for you. It's for you and for your faith. It's been for me and for my faith, to increase my faith in the Word of God that is true, that it gives us a context that we can be confident. And I'll be honest, for years and years, somebody would say, how old do you think the earth is? And I said, oh, 6 to 10,000 years, somewhere in there. That's pretty close. You know, science will give it plus or minus millions of years. I figure plus or minus a few thousand, I got to be pretty close. But I'm not doing the Word of God justice when I do that. The Bible pretty clearly tells us. And when you dig into the Word of God, you can pretty clearly get an idea of how old the earth is. Now, to steal a line from Jerry McCorkle as he teaches on Revelation, I'm going to throw some dates up here. I'm not going to be dogmatic about those dates. There are several ways that you could go about tracking the exact age of the earth through the Bible. And so I want to do that with you using one of those ways this afternoon. Let's take a look at the Word of God and let's see. And hopefully that will increase your faith. And maybe at a later time, Lord willing, we'll take a look at some of this scientific evidence that supports that the earth is very young. First thing we need to do is we need to find a point of reference. We need to find a date that we can all agree on and that we can move forward or backward from there. And I guess the most obvious date for that would be today. Anno Domini 2016, the year of our Lord 2016. We know it as, and we abbreviate that as AD. That's today. We're nearly to 2017. But today is in December of 2016. We can all agree. Humans have messed up a lot of things, and maybe science is one of those things, but one thing we can generally do is we can count. We can count up into the thousands. We can even count up into the millions. We can count. And we've counted since the birth of Jesus, we've counted 2016 years. And we're pretty close with that. You know, it can't be off more than just a few years. Can't be off much more than that. But we can really do a little bit better than that if we're looking for a point of reference that everybody can agree on. We can look at the Babylonian captivity, the period of time when Babylon seized Judah and took them into captivity. That happened somewhere in the year 607 BC to 581 BC. And whether you're talking to biblical scholars or whether you're talking to secular historians, there's a large level of agreement. It just doesn't get out of that range. They agree that that's when that event occurred. And history has tracked that since that occasion, other than the Word of God. But the Word of God can help you to get there too. And so we have this set of dates agreed upon that we can say, all right, here's a point of reference. This is talked about in the Bible. You can read about it in the Bible. You can see characters that were alive during that time. And secular history will say, yeah, that's the dates. All that's fine. That happened. And there's a large amount of agreement there. And so this is going to be our point of reference. I want you to remember that. We'll come back to it. But it's a very important point of reference for us in determining how old planet Earth is. Now let's go back to the beginning. We know that point of reference we need to track from the beginning of time, the creation, up until that point. And interestingly enough, the Bible's going to let us do that. It's going to tell us that. We don't have to guess. We don't have to estimate. We don't have to pull rock samples. We've got an inspired document that tells us day by day how long that was. And so let's take a look. The first instance we have is in Genesis the 5th chapter. We won't read all of Genesis the 5th chapter. Genealogies, to me, can get pretty dry and pretty boring. I know Brother Jason did an excellent job in presenting some study from genealogies. I'm not that talented and good to present it in that fashion. And so I'm not going to read all of it. But I do think there's some important things there. In Genesis 5 and 1, it says, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him." And it goes on to begin to talk about the generations of Adam, the descendants of Adam. And so I made a chart here that depicts those things, the generations of Adam. We have several different dates of reference here on this list. Number one, the age they were when their heir was born. It names an heir. We don't know if this was the first son in the instance of Adam. It was not. But it names one of their heirs. Now, some people will say, well, we don't know if that was children or grandchildren or whatnot. And the truth of the matter is we don't. The Hebrews would use, when they say the term beget, sometimes they meant a child, sometimes they meant a grandchild. It really doesn't matter though, because it tells us their age when this descendant was born. That's all we need to know. Adam was 130 years old when Seth was born. We know that Adam was born in year one, the very first year of the creation, just a few days after God began to create the earth. And so we have this date as a point of reference. We know that he was 130 when Seth was born. And so Seth was born in the 131st year after the creation. We use the term Anno Mundi, which means the year of our world, to track time from creation upward. We're not used to that reference of time. We say BC. And we'll try to marry those two as we go along. But just think of when you see AM or Anno Mundi, just think of that as the number of years after the creation of the world. So we have Seth at 131. It says Seth began Enos at age 105, and so Enos was born in 236, and so on and so forth. And we get down to Noah. Noah is a very prominent character in the Word of God. It's very clear that Noah was born in the year 1057, which is 1,056 years after the creation of the world. The Bible tells us that. All in one nice little chapter, Genesis chapter 5, the Bible declares to us how long it was from the creation until the birth of Noah. And so we can say that that was 1,056 years and that Noah was born in Anno Mundi 1057. Now let's go to Genesis, the 7th chapter. We have another interesting point of reference for us. It says here, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. The great flood. We're given a date for the flood. Isn't that amazing? That God, in His wisdom, knowing we would combat some fictional process, some fictional theory called evolution, that God tells us the date of the flood. And He says that happened in the 600th year of Noah's life. And so not only do we have creation of the birth of Noah, now we can tack on another 600 years to that, and we know that the flood occurred in about 1,657 years after the creation. So we're moving right along. We've covered a lot of time in just those few verses. Let's go to Genesis 11. Because God sees fit to pause again in the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis and to go through some more generations. And He says, these are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. Isn't that fascinating? That God gets down to the detail to tell you Arphaxad was born 2 years after the flood. Very specific. Wants us to know. And tells us very clearly. And so we begin to go through this genealogy. And again, I won't read that. I encourage you to do that sometime. But God goes through this genealogy and He tells us how old each of these men were at the age of, at the birth of their heir, and the age of their death. And so we can calculate these dates over, on, the far side of the column, Anno Mundi, the date at these people's birth. And we can track that all the way down to Abram. Or Abraham, and we can see through this genealogy that Abraham was born in 1954 A.M. So the flood to Abraham, 297 years. We track that through that chart, and Abraham was born in 1954 A.M. Now we have run into a bit of a problem. And that is, we have Abraham, and we don't know how old he was when God called him forth. Dad talked about the promise this morning. God made a promise to Abraham. And that promise was that if you'll get up out of this land and go forth out of this land, then I'm going to give you a promise. I'm going to make of you a great nation. And so we don't know how old he was exactly when he left there. But we see that promise being made. And that will become important. It'd be nice to know that, I guess. But we can narrow that down to a range. We'll do that in just a minute. Genesis 12 and verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I'll show thee. So God says, get out. Leave your home country, the country of Haran, and go out and into some other country. I'm not going to tell you where, but I'll tell you when you get there. I'll tell you when you arrive. That's important because He says here in verse 2, I'll make of thee a great nation. I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. In Genesis, or in the book of Galatians, chapter 3 and verse 16, the reason that this promise date is important is because we're given a number of years here. We're given another point of reference that we can use in our calculations. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not into seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. And so we're given a very clear message that from the time God makes the promise of Abraham until God fulfills that promise in giving the law, that being the Exodus, when they leave Egyptian bondage and go out and are given the law. He says that's 430 years. So we have now a date for the birth of Abraham, and we have a date for when the promise that was made to Abraham was fulfilled. It was 430 years after that. Now again, we don't know how old Abraham was when that promise was made. Was he 20? Was he 80? We don't know. We know he was less than 100 because Isaac was born when Abraham was 100. And when he left, Isaac had not yet been born. So he was younger than 100. Was he 90? Was he 80? I don't know for sure. We know that he was married, and so he had to be old enough. He had already married Sarah. He had to be old enough to be married. He might have got married at a very young age. It might have been older. And so we'll give ourselves a gap in years from 20 to 90. We'll say Abraham could have been as young as 20. He could have been as old as 90 when that was made. And we'll concede that we can't tell that for certain. Again, in Exodus 12 and verse 40, it confirms this in another place. It says the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And so they were 430 years before they got out of Egypt until from the time the promise was made. So the promise to the Exodus, 430 years, that puts the Exodus from Egypt occurring somewhere between 2404 and 2474 from the creation. Moving on, in 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse number 1, we're given another point of reference. It says, and it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt. Isn't that interesting? He just picks up right there. We have a point of reference up till the Exodus, and now he's going to give us another point of reference beginning at the Exodus. He says, the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziph, which is the second month that he began to build the house of the Lord. And so the beginning of the construction of the temple. 480 years after they left Egypt, Solomon starts to build the temple. That gives us another point of reference. From the Exodus to the start of the temple, 480 years. And so we can see the construction of the temple is going to begin in between 2884, 2954, after the creation. 1 Kings 11 and 42, and the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. Another reference. We know that Solomon began the construction in the fourth year and that he reigned 40 years. And so we can now see that the start of the temple to the dividing of the kingdoms, because Solomon, after his reign was over, the kingdom's going to be divided. Jeroboam and Rehoboam. One's going to take Israel, one's going to take Judah, and the kingdom is divided. And so we know that 36 years after he started to build the temple, the kingdom is divided. That gives us another point of reference. The kingdom was divided in 2920 to 2990 AM. Now you can track it a couple different ways. And what's interesting is that no matter which way you choose to track it, it comes out pretty close. You can track the reigns of the kings. The Bible records for us how long each king reigned. You can track that all the way up to Jehoiachin and the Babylonian captivity. Or you can turn to Ezekiel and you can find another nice little concise point of reference that God gives us in order to determine how long that period of time was. And that's what we're going to do today. We go to Ezekiel chapter 4 and verse number 4. God tells Ezekiel, lie thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it according to the number of days thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity according to the number of days, 390 days, so shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year. And so he tells Ezekiel, God tells Ezekiel, I want you to lay on your side for 390 days. And every one of those days represents a year that the kingdom's been living in sin. that they've been living in iniquity. Since the time of Jeroboam and Rehoboam until that day, he said 390 years that they've lived in iniquity, that they had divided the kingdom. And he gives us that point of reference. Now, as I said, you can use that. Some people say, no, that's not what that means. It means something different. If you take that line of thought, then you can track it through the reigns of the kings. But anyway, we're given this point of reference, 390 years. And that means that Ezekiel prophesied in 3310 to 3380 after the creation. All right, that gets us to a very important reference point, doesn't it? Because in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God." When did Ezekiel prophesy? When he was in Babylonian captivity. He said, "I was there with the captives by the river of Chebar, and I saw these visions." And as he saw this vision, he begins to prophesy. And so that allows us to marry a couple of dates, doesn't it? It allows us to bring some dates together. It means that 3310 to 3380 after the creation is the same as 607 to 581 before Christ. And it allows us to make that connection and see those dates. And it allows us to finally determine how old is planet Earth. So we got a couple of different scenarios, from the youngest to the oldest, if you might say. So scenario one, if Abraham was 20 years old when God gave him the promise, and if Ezekiel was among the last that was taken captive of the in the land of Judah, then we have this equation right here, 3310 plus 581, 3,891 years from creation to the birth of Christ. And if Abraham was older, if he was 90 when God gave him the promise, and Ezekiel was among the first of those that were taken captive, then we would add 3,380 to 607, and we would get 3,987 years from creation to the birth of Christ. So that gives us really a pretty narrow window, doesn't it? And it allows us to say, take that number, add 2,016 years, and get an approximate age of the earth using the biblical timeline of being 5,907 to 6,003 years. You know, you may say, who cares? What does any of that matter? But in reality, it matters a great deal. And as I've studied this, it's done nothing but increase my faith that God, He's given us the information. He hasn't tried to hide anything. We don't have to guess. We don't have to believe this lie of evolution. We don't have to let people shame us into saying you're uneducated or unlearned or not smart to not believe in evolution, to not believe the earth's billions of years old. You don't have to believe that lie. That's a lie manufactured by men. The Bible talks about science that's false. It's a false science. We're wrong in our scientific methods of calculating the age of the earth. There are probably reasons that's flawed. One could be that God created an old earth. But whatever the reason may be, don't let people shake your faith. When you go to college, young people, when you go to high school, young people, don't believe the lies that you're going to hear about evolution. Believe what God's laid out in front of us. And don't do the Bible injustice by saying, oh, it's somewhere in this range. The Bible tells us. The Bible's clear. The Bible gives us concise dates so that we can tell, so that our faith won't be shaken, so that we can be confident in what God has told us, that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And those scientists that want to say it was billions of years, God may say to them, who are you? Were you there when I said to the ocean, you stop there? Were you there when I measured the tape across it and made the form of the universe? I wasn't there. You weren't there. The scientists weren't there. God was there. And God's told us how old the earth is. Let that increase your faith this evening.